You are listening to The Alex Way.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to one more episode of The Alex Way Show. This is a show about passion, dedication, and leadership in the soccer industry, a massive and important sports industry that's universal and that just has so many people interested in it. I'm very, very excited for today's episode, episode 15. After the 14th one in Spanish, it was about time to bring someone in English. And before we get started and right into it, I just want to remind the entire audience here in YouTube, as well as in the podcasting platforms, that you can find the podcast and more about what I do in my social media. So that's all over LinkedIn, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, et cetera, et cetera. You can also feel free to subscribe to my YouTube channel. And of course, just check the link in the description so you can go to anchor.fm/Moraes Melara. So you can listen to the podcast in your favorite podcasting platform, whether that is Spotify, iTunes, Google Play, and the like. Also, I just want to throw it out there, guys, but we are supported by Sugar Bread Co. If you are in the U.S., Sugar Bread Co. can ship you a gourmet-style bread. They got us all sorts of items in their menu. Banana bread, carrot cake, chocolate chip banana bread, gluten-free items. So remember, those are made by the hands of a chef. And going back to the show, I'm excited to have now a professional of soccer, but not a coach, not a fan, not a player. I'm talking about a professional in the medical arena, Dr. JP Thompson. Welcome to the show, JP.
Hey, how you doing, Alex?
Doing well, thank you. Thank you for your time. And I'm just looking forward to getting to know a little bit more about you, the St. Louis soccer doc.
Absolutely. Happy to be here.
Awesome. All right. So first things first, I would like to take a couple seconds to introduce my guest to everybody. If you don't know who JP is, well, he is, again, the St. Louis soccer doc. If you're in the area, in the greater St. Louis metro area, feel free to pay him a visit. Feel free to check him out on Instagram. And just a little bit more about him. JP JP went to Westminster College, okay, to get a Bachelor of Arts in Biology. This is back in 2012. In 2016, he goes to one of the best universities in the United States of America. That's Washington University, a School of Medicine. And that's where he becomes a doctor of physical therapy back in the year 2016. He has a lot of other certifications. Obviously, he belongs to a lot of different professional communities, from, you know, Scott Gallagher as a former coach to, you know, the St. Louis Adolescent Female Sports Medicine Initiative, Arsenal America, St. Louis chapter founding member, American Physical Therapy Association. And a little bit of his work experience. Currently, he is the owner of the St. Louis Soccer Doc, and we'll talk more about this, but physical therapist and performance trainer. And at the same time, he is with Apex Network of Physical Therapy as a clinic manager and physical therapy as well. So, man, that's a handful. You're very qualified. How come you are only into the soccer community?
So, I mean, soccer is something I grew up around. My godfather played at a pretty high level, played at down at Missouri State in college, and then came back and really was a lot of inspiration for me growing up to get into the sport. So I was around it a lot as a kid and just kind of fell in love with the sport. Played it all the way started playing when I was like 4 or 5 and played at a club level through St. Louis through a number of different clubs. back when Metro 74 was the first club. They're not around anymore. Then went to Bush. They're not around anymore. Ended up going and playing with a smaller club, Emil Dragovic. I don't think they're around anymore. And finally finished once I got into high school with Scott Gallagher, who are obviously still around in the St. Louis area. But then wanted to continue to play in college, went to Westminster College and had a pretty good career there, 4-year starter, was captain for my junior and senior year. Didn't want to give up being around the sport. And so physical therapy was always on my mind on what I wanted to do as a profession. So started working into that and picked up during PT school, started coaching a little bit. Me and one of my best friends took over a team that his little brother was on, and they were freshmen in high school. So got to work with them all the way through their senior year, which was a fun experience because, you know, you don't have to, you know, my first coaching job wasn't with, you know, all the real little kids where you have to teach them all the basics. I was able to go straight into tactics and all that sort of stuff.
Wow.
And so, I mean, I just been around soccer my whole life. And so just really got more and more involved with coaching. When I was getting involved with coaching and my PT career was starting, I started to think, how can I kind of parlay these two things together? How do I, not give up being around the sport, but also give more back to the sport because I have more knowledge on the human body and how it moves and how we can keep it from being injured, how we can, heal it so we can get back to playing. Because, I mean, we've all been there as players that at one point or another, you're missing time because you're injured. If you made it through your career without injury, I don't know who you are.
I mean, yeah. Yeah, exactly.
You probably didn't have a long career.
Yeah.
That's the only thing.
You didn't play at all.
So, yeah, or play at all. So, wanted to, stick around the sport and provide my expertise in a different way with physical therapy. And so I've started STL Soccer Doc.
Awesome.
And really focused a lot on, a lot of different avenues out there right now, whether it being from an injury reduction perspective. So before getting hurt, whether it's from a, a training perspective. I have a couple of kids that I train right now, just individual training, or whether it's from the rehab side of it, you have an injury, you have surgery, whatever that looks like, and getting you all the way back onto the field.
That's very exciting and so cool that you haven't left your passion of soccer behind, but you're carrying it over. And now in your professional field, your field of study, which is, to me, it's creative, it's innovative, it's being specific and strategic in terms of being a business owner and an entrepreneur, because that's what you are. You have your niche market, but I'm pretty sure you also get some people who doesn't necessarily belong to a soccer community, right? Am I correct?
Yeah. I mean, at Apex Network Physical Therapy, which is where I currently work, we see a whole wide variety of outpatient orthopedics. I have that, but it's not what my goal is. My goal is to see just soccer players in the future, but it takes time to build that up. And also soccer players are generally, they're in school or they're professional. So middle of the day, you gotta fill those hours with the other people.
That's awesome.
About 2:30 though, it kicks off, and it's my front desk says you have your soccer bros coming in at from 3 to 5. I was like, all right, perfect.
Let's go for it. Awesome. JP, why don't you talk to me about, you know, your beginnings, your, how were you raised? What was the context? Your, you know, how close is your family together with you and your life here in St. Louis? Because I would take it you're a St. Louis local, right? So for everybody who doesn't know much about it, how were you raised? What's St. Louis like? Tell me about that.
St. Louis is the biggest small town in the world. everyone knows everyone. So I was raised in an incredible household, incredibly supportive parents. And I was thinking about this a little bit earlier. Is one of my earliest memories is with my grandfather at his house. We're in the basement, and it's a 1960s house. You know, everything still looks like it was from the 60s and 70s. And they had these accordion doors down in the basement that covered up a storage area. And wow. He would take me down there, and I was probably 6 or 7. And he would take me down there, and he would only let me shoot with my left foot, because I was right-footed. He said, wow. All right. And we would spend hours down there just shooting left-footed. And so once I actually started becoming better at soccer and started knowing how to play a little bit, I actually had to relearn how to use my right foot, as like to actually play with my wow. right foot, because I only played with my left foot for so long.
Same.
And so now, you know, in college, going to one of your coaches, Martin Clay's, he was like, are you left-footed or right-footed? And I was like, well, right foot has a little bit more power, but my left foot is more accurate. And he goes, wow. Okay, that makes sense. And told him the story. He goes, okay, makes sense. That's kind of a lot of passion in the household, it's very supportive, emotional household, which is, you know, exactly, I think, what led me to being a physical therapist and going down this road of compassion and wanting to help people heal. Just added big sports family as well. We had season tickets to the Cardinals, which is the baseball team in St. Louis, for a long time when I was young. When the Rams, the football team, got here, we had season tickets to them. So it's every sport I was exposed to, had every opportunity to play as many sports as possible. Soccer is just where my passion and love was.
That's so cool. It's so great to know, there's more than meets the eye. And I love to come down to these questions because to me, and I always listen to a lot of different professionals in any industry, but particularly in the soccer industry, I've talked to pro, semi-pro, amateur, people in the collegiate level, high school level, whether they're referees or players, coaches, or, medical professionals. They say, humility is such a, and should be a part of every single actor in the game. And so it makes sense. A lot of people in PT, they tell me, I have a passion for people. I'm here to serve. That's one of my love languages. So it seems to be the case with you. It's pretty inspiring, to be honest.
Yeah. One of the things that I kind of more recently have realized, and this is partly due to the pandemic, when the pandemic started and physical therapy really, there wasn't a whole lot of need for PT. There was, but sure. People weren't having surgeries. People weren't going out. Soccer was stopped happening. So you stopped seeing those sorts of things. I really struggled with part of that, of I wasn't being able to be helpful in the way that I professionally was raised to do. You know, I wasn't able to go out and do therapy on people to help them feel better, to help them move better. And that's honestly, that's where STL Soccer Doc was born from, was the pandemic was happening. I needed a way to connect with people and help provide, provide my knowledge and what I could do. And the way that I could do that was online. So STL Soccer Doc on Instagram was born.
That's such a cool, I mean, that right there is a story of, again, you know, creativity, innovation, entrepreneurship, but is your call for purpose? No wonder why, you know, I read your credentials and it says it started in 2020, which is the pandemic. I mean, where it actually hit right then. It's crazy. And you told me you're married and you're a dog dad also. You know, how supportive is your life partner of the St. Louis Soccer Doc project?
She's incredibly supportive. She's an attorney, and started her own business right in 2020 as well, in which works in cell tower acquisition. So buying and selling cell towers and finding out where to put them. So has an entrepreneurial spirit to herself. So was super, super supportive, of me. And we're high school sweethearts. We've been together for a long time. I think, coming up this year, we'll have been dating for 15 years. So, she knows, I mean, you're around somebody that long, you get to know their, you know, what drives them. And she could see in me that I needed to start to do something from an online perspective and start to grow with the soccer. You know, she knows that I'm an Arsenal fan. When Arsenal plays, you know, I'm, you know, probably let me be unless they're winning. If they're losing and I come home, let me have a few minutes because I'm gonna I need to comprehend, you know, their loss and all that sort of stuff. So soccer as a passion has always been around, and you know, so she was very supportive of letting me, you know, merge my two kind of passions in PT and soccer.
Of course. And what's her name?
Laura.
Laura. And then your dog?
My dog is Riley. Riley. She is a Catahoula leopard dog. She's a crazy. If anybody has a Catahoula, they know that they're just endless amounts of energy. And you can't ever get them to stop. I think awesome. About 10:30, 11 o'clock last night, she was barking at me like, let's play. I was like, it's 11 o'clock. Like, I just want to sit here and watch this show.
That's so funny. I do want to say this for, you know, my guests who are married. You know, I've been married for almost 4 years and married to my best friend. I want to thank your wife for this moment, with her husband, you know, because, you know, it's just, you know, wives are an important piece of our success, I would say. And yeah. So I want to thank Laura for
your absolutely time. Yeah, no, awesome. Wouldn't be here without her support.
That's awesome. Yeah, so tell me, I mean, obviously pretty clear, you have a passion for PT, you have a passion for soccer, now they're mixed together, that equals the St. Louis, the STL Soccer Dog. Now, what other hobbies does JP have? Chess? Hiking, anything else?
The pandemic brought me back to playing video games a little bit.
That's cool.
I hadn't played a video game in 4 years, and and then I got back into playing video games because it was a way for me to be online and be in contact with some of my friends without, you know, being right next to them. Other than that, travel, big fan. You know, we love to travel. Unfortunately, we haven't been able, we love to travel to Europe. Me and my wife haven't been able to go. I was fortunate enough that I went over to London in January of 2020 for my 30th birthday with three of my buddies, and we went and watched a couple of soccer games right before the pandemic hit off. So I was one of the lucky ones that got to do it right before everything shut down. But we have plans to go to Paris in July of this year, so nice. And see France. So nice. But travel are kind of our big things.
So nice.
And then just friends and family and hanging out with them. And we have a little place at the Lake of the Ozarks, which is a lake in middle of Missouri, that we get down to and do some summer vacationing down there. That's a fun time for us as well.
I bet all this traveling and this hobby of yours and shared hobby really in your marriage, but I bet it helps you because soccer is so international. It's global. Mm-hmm. And even if we say, you know, JP is in the greater St. Louis Metro, which covers a lot, I bet you've had some internationals to help along your path. Am I wrong? People from where have you encountered as your clients?
Yeah, I mean, I have a client right now that's Colombian. Is working back into playing after a broken ankle that required surgery. So, you know, it's and then I get messages on Instagram from kind of all over. You know, that's one of the reasons of why I went to Instagram and went online is that it's, you know, it's my services can be relayed over internet to a point. But, you know, you can post, I post a lot of videos on there on exercises to do and stuff to do like that. That, you know, you can do those exercises anywhere. You don't have a lot of the exercises that I post, you don't have to be in a gym. You can be out on the field and do a lot of the plyometric stuff. So I get messages from people kind of all over, mainly the messages so far have been from the US, but, you know, I have a few of my college guys that are in town in St. Louis, where they're locally based for summer. So I'll work with them over summer, but then when they go out, I give them my, you know, they have my cell phone number and they can text me at any time, to have any questions. So I got a guy down in, he'll be down in Florida next year. He's transferring down to school down there, guy in Illinois, guy down in Texas. So kind of all over.
That's pretty neat. And I want to remind everybody in the audience in the video, I'm talking to the STL soccer doc. He is all over the greater St. Louis area. His niche community is anybody who's into soccer, especially. I mean, anyone else, if you like a taste of what he does, for sure, more than welcome to check him out. Check the description. We got his Instagram account there, and you can. I'm pretty sure you can direct message him, and he'll just connect with you immediately. Also, find us in social media, all over social media, my personal account or with the hashtag The Alex Way to see every single interview in Spanish and English, and obviously subscribe to all of the podcasting platforms via anchor.fm/ Moraes Malara. All right, so we're with JP, and this is an interesting conversation. We had a great beginning, you know, start with what his beginnings were with the family and everything, hobbies, and obviously the fact that he's an adventurer. But I now want to turn the tables and go straight into your field. Why is PT so important in the field of soccer today?
Yeah, I think that's a great question. And I think one of the things that that's really interesting is the difference between the European model of a physical therapist or a physiotherapist and the US model for that same thing. One of the things, the European model, they've adopted physical therapists for much earlier in the soccer world than the American model has. And I don't quite know why the American model is lagging behind. I think mainly because the American model has an athletic trainer that fills a lot of those molds. But the reason why, in my opinion, why physical therapists are so important are we are movement specialists. We are trained to know how the body moves and how it should move. And if you can optimize how the body moves, if you can make sure the body is moving correctly, you're going to decrease the likelihood of it getting injured. And also you're going to improve your performance on the field. Those are all things that any soccer player, any athlete really should want to know how to do, is to move in a way that they're not going to get hurt so that they can continue to play their sport, but also move in a way that's going to better suit them so that they can perform at a higher level.
All right, so this creates the passage to a different question, and I'm glad you're shedding light in it. What is, because a little bit of context for everybody. The U.S., I don't know, we don't know the answer, but we could probably say that probably it's a little bit behind, less today than before, because soccer has become probably more popular and it's become more serious as an industry lately than before. You said the athletic trainer fills out a lot of different hats, but what is the main distinction? Can we educate an audience? What is an athletic trainer? And what about you, the STL Soccer Doc PT? And what are the differences?
So athletic trainers are more suited for initial, and this is a generalization, but athletic trainers are more suited for your initial injury. So they're going to be the ones that run onto the field when you get hurt and are checking you out. They're much more suited for those acute injury kind of diagnosis and can you play right now or do you need to come off type of decisions.
Of course.
Where physical therapists are better suited for the rehab side of it. Mm-hmm. You're back, you're off the field. You came off the field. Now let's get you your treatment, right? Let's get you, whatever, exercises we need to be doing so we can strengthen, whatever mm-hmm. we need to do. You had surgery, let's get you moving. This is how we're going to start to move so that we're staying safe. We're not injuring the surgical site at all. Mm-hmm. And this is the progression of how we get you back onto the field. That would be the difference for me on what athletic trainers and PTs are for the soccer world. Yeah. But historically, probably because, like you said, soccer has been a slower game to grow in the U.S., mm-hmm. that athletic trainers have filled that role because they need them to wear more hats. They need a single person to wear more hats.
Absolutely.
As the sport has started to grow, I was talking with late last year, I was talking with the physical therapist for Sporting Kansas City, the MLS team from Kansas City. And I was just talking with him, and he let me know that there's in the MLS, there's, I think they're up to 27 teams now this year, 27 or 2018 teams. There's only about 10 physical therapists in the MLS. which, you know, that's less than half of the teams. He said he expects it to be all of the teams within the next like 3 or 4 years. But I mean, that's at a professional level in the U.S. that we're not at, you know, we're not in every, you know, treatment room, which to me is something that I think, you know, needs to be addressed, and we need to have growth. Cause when you have somebody wearing too many hats, they can't do all the jobs correctly. Right.
Exactly. Exactly.
I'm not taking anything away from athletic trainers. I know tons of athletic trainers that are smarter than me on a lot of things.
Yes.
But I think as a profession, physical therapists need to be in the room for the rehab side of it. It's because it's what we're trained to do.
Is it fair to say that physical therapists not only help with the recovery journey, but also it helps probably players and the staff in a proactive way to probably just be there for preventing purposes?
Yeah. So this is one of my soapboxes. I don't love the injury prevention word. I can't prevent an injury. Somebody's going to slide tackle you, and I can't do anything about that.
Sorry.
Right. So I like to use injury reduction.
Okay, great.
As my goal, like as how I say it, because that's my goal. I want to reduce your risk for injury. You know, and as best as I can, because there are some people, I mean, there's been tons of twin study. We'll use ACL as an example, because that's pretty, everyone knows ACL injuries, you know, pretty big ones. There's been tons of twin studies that if one of the twins tears an ACL, the other twin is at like a 75% chance of tearing their ACL. So there's genetic components to things that I can't control, right? But that's where we try and reduce that risk in terms of we want our athletes to be in that 25%, right? So as best as we can, getting them as strong as we can, there's things we can do to help train the body to decrease the risk for those ACL injuries, for, you know, some of those other injuries. And that's where I think physical therapists being in the room would be helpful, is to, from the proactive stance, like you said, to decrease those risks. And, you know, my other thing is having, you know, one of my favorite, you know, kind of models is a team model for a rehab or for the medical staff of anything. If you look at, you know, most professional teams in the U.S., there's, you know, if you'll take football, you know, they have a ton of people. Football's medical staff in the training room is probably about 15 people big, 15 to 20 people big, because they need to have that many people. And when you have that many people, you have more eyes on how people are moving, what is putting people at risk. And the soccer world is moving in that direction with the people that are, with the data analysts being involved in all the wearable technology on risk for injury, that sort of stuff. So that stuff's coming. And I think physical therapists are going to be right with them, is, you know, from the movement side, now we're getting the objective side of risk for injury from the, you know, the wearable technology, the GPS monitors, those sorts of things. Now it's time to get the visual side from the PT and saying, okay, but you're not moving right there. Like, you're putting yourself at risk there.
It seems like the team structure for us to have an actual professional staff, okay, of PTs, coaching staff, medical staff, actually, coaching staff, and everything else. It seems that should be the standard for clubs. And we're just trailing behind in America. We're 0.5% there. Europe and South America, it's a different story. Not only Europe, but also South America, to an extent in Central America, to an extent, I would say, even in Asia and probably even in Africa, believe it or not, because soccer has been there for the longest time. And so when I talk to professionals who coach in South America and Europe, they already count with a medical staff that is comprised of a couple PTs, maybe the head one, the assistant one, or two assistant ones, at least three, depending on the financial status of that club. But it seems to be the standard, okay? So with PTs, this is exciting because JP, you are the second PT that I get a chance to interview. I interviewed a guy who fulfills two roles in Croatia, a professional club, as a PT, but also as a physical trainer. Do you happen to do that? Are you well-versed in those two worlds, or is that very unique and specialized?
I wouldn't say it's unique and specialized. I do training with STL Soccer Doc, but that training is more on the field type of training, where, you know, skill stuff like that. And that comes from my coaching background.
Awesome.
But I do have a good relationship. I do my soccer training out of a place called The Grind, which is a gym down in South County. And I have I'm there. So I have a great working relationship with them. And so that, from that perspective, I send to them for the personal training aspect of it, from the weightlifting, the getting stronger, the speed skills, like those sorts of things. I send that out to them. But there are a lot of physical therapists who have a certification called, in the US it's called your CSCS, but it's a strength and conditioning certification. That's very common to have because our worlds do overlap quite a bit. It's not something that I have, but it's, you know, it's a very common thing to see. And in talking with the guy from Sporting Kansas City, you know, he was saying that out of the 10, I think all but one or two had their CSCS or had an athletic training background. So that's not terribly uncommon to see, especially in the US, because going back to that wearing lots of hats type of thing, you're trying to get as many people as the game grows, you're trying to get as many people to do as many different jobs as they can and save money from that perspective.
So there are a lot of probably of layers that prevent the US soccer industry to evolve in that medical branch, because it's a mix of, now we're treating soccer more seriously because, oh, we see the value. It's growing in interest. It's number one in most statistics on the most popular youth sport in America. It's cheap when compared to other sports because I don't need a helmet, shoulder pads, or anything. It's just the ball, my cleats, my shin guards, the uniforms I pay for, or they're provided, whatever, training tops and why not. So there's also a layer of economics probably involved, right? The fact that you want to be efficient and not probably release the funds as quickly. But at the same time, it is important. I mean, it's evidently important. Now, let us talk about what are the most common injuries that you have come across in the youth soccer landscape here in the area.
Yeah. So, I mean, across soccer, because soccer is a global game, it's been researched and researched and researched. When you're talking about injuries, specifically, because you know a lot of these injuries are going to be a lot of these studies that I, if you go to my Instagram STL Soccer Doc, I've been posting more on specific research articles and things like that here recently, breaking them down for everybody. A lot of these articles are going to be coming out of Europe and South America, because that's goes back to the financial part of it. That's where people are invested in the medical side of it, right?
Yes.
Not a lot of. It's getting more, but there's sure. Breakdown. A lot of the research is coming out of Europe and from South America. So most common injuries are, number one is hamstring strain. Across the board, no matter where you are, hamstring strains are number one. Followed by ankle injuries.
Yes. Oh my gosh.
Yeah. And everyone, yeah, ankle injuries are a big one. Followed by groin and hip injuries are number two. And then you're getting into your knee injuries and then back. And then we're talking about concussions and stuff like that as well. And so, everyone's worried about the knee injuries, right? Cause that's the, you know, your ACL, your MCL, like that's the surgical side of it. And that's where you're out for the longest amount of time. But the issue with your hamstring and your groins and your ankles is that those are recurring injuries. If you have one of them, you're significantly higher risk to have another. So, you know, I was looking at I just posted about it this week. It was looking at players' hip range of motion after having a hip or groin injury. And there was significant decrease that was lasting into the times where these guys were fully healthy. They'd been back playing for a year plus time without a hip or groin injury, and they were still seeing these drastic decreases in their range of motion from their hip, which is significant for me from a reoccurring issue of these guys are likely going to get injured again because they're going to be out on the field. They're going to react in a certain way or going to be their body's going to be put in a certain position that they're not able to tolerate. And that's when we get re-injured. So though I would say, you know, hamstrings number one, ankles yeah. number two, hip and groins three are most common. And then you get into your, you know, your ACL surgeries or and then your, you know, your back injuries, stuff like that.
Wow. This is great when you have a professional like you sharing the facts, you know, with us, with me. And to be honest, going back to your initial point on, hey, if you didn't get injured, you didn't play the game long or you didn't play a decent level of competition. I remember I twisted my left ankle. So that happened. And I remember also developing upper back issues because as a keeper, I used to be in a youth national team. I used to be in top levels of competition, semi-pro and pro. The diving and the beach, the diving on the yep. grass, the diving on, unfortunately, in Honduras back then, we had a lot of not so great fields, you know, with rocks and why not. So that ended up affecting me. But an observation that I have of you, and this will give a segue to the next question, is I can see already your value. And as an international myself who played soccer competitively, you are talking about the European model, the South American model. That to me tells me that you're vested in your profession and that you are researching and reading and learning about methods and approaches abroad. I mean, this is phenomenal. It's a comparative advantage, to be honest. And I was going to ask, what are some of the benefits of anyone in the St. Louis, greater St. Louis metro area to joining you, STL Soccer Doc? What are the benefits they'll encounter with you, JP?
I mean, the easy one is the information I put out on Instagram is free. The easy one is you don't have to pay for it. I'm giving it away. And so I generally, you know, the stuff on my Instagram, I'm posting about four times a week now. So I'm posting two exercise videos a week and two research articles a week. I got another one I gotta do and put out today, because it's a little late this week with the snow that we had here, threw me off my game, and I didn't get one of my research articles out this week. So I got to do that later today. There you go. So yeah, the red ones are the research articles, and the other ones are the videos. There you go. That was the hip range of motion one I was talking about.
Yeah, I've been seeing this. This is fantastic. This is great value.
So first off, it's free. Secondly, you know, St. Louis area, I do offer a soccer specific warm-up, so that I've created myself. It's heavily based off of the FIFA 11 plus, which is the gold standard for injury reduction warm-ups across any sport. It's the one that has the most research behind it, the most backing in its ability to help reduce injury. So I based mine off of that, with the reasoning being the FIFA 11 plus is great, but it takes about 25 or 30 minutes to get through. And Alex, as you know, as a youth coach, you don't have 25 or 30 minutes on a field to get warm, to get ready and warmed up. You just don't. And, you know, would I love that to change and be able to have everybody go through the FIFA 11 plus warm up every time? Yes, I would. But from a financial, we go back to the financial point, it's not doable. They need to fit all of these games in. There's too many people playing soccer right now for the field space to be available for that. So I created my injury reduction warm up. That you can get through in about 10 minutes, and then you can go into your ball skill stuff. It's stuff that can be done. It can be done on the sideline. Don't need a lot of space. You need about 15 to 20 yards of space, in a pretty straight line. So don't need a lot of space, and it really works through a lot of the things and adds some things that I think we're missing from the FIFA 11 plus, from a perspective of, I'm a big fan of perturbation training, which perturbation training, if you're not familiar with the word, is where you're getting pushed off balance, which we're not track and field athletes. We don't run in a straight line. We have people that are hitting us. It's a contact sport. And I think a lot of warmups and a lot of coaches' warmups don't include that. They don't include a training of, you're going to jump, somebody's going to push you, can you land, are you ready to, is your brain ready to do that? Which for me is a massively important thing, so I put that in my warm-up. A lot of the warm-ups don't include, you know, touching a soccer ball. A lot of coaches will have them run out there and, all right, you're going to do some running. We play a sport with a ball. You need to know how to touch the ball. It needs to be in your warm-up.
Yeah.
So I have that. I can provide that. I also do an injury reduction, an injury reduction screen that I do. It's 20 movements. That I videotape and have, you know, and break, go back through and break down with a fine tooth comb with a slow motion video saying, all right, this movement here, this is putting you at more risk for injury. And I go through and I I grade every single one of those movements. It's a lot of jump. There's jumping involved. There's range of motion stuff involved. There's strength involved. So I go through, I break those back down. So I provide that. And then on top of that, me as a physical therapist, if you're injured, I can work with you from the perspective of back to from the second you get injured all the way to, like I said, I do training. I'll go out on the field with you, do some training with you, see how you move, how you're doing. Are you ready based on that? Because I can do a lot in the gym, but you can't replicate what it's like to be on the field and moving.
Yeah.
And so I'll go out and do that side of it as well to see if I think you're ready or you need more time.
This is great. And I just we're entering the final phase of the interview right here, but I would like to mention that, you know, so JP, you're not only, and probably are feeling like I'm throwing a lot of roses at you, but to be honest with you, I am a person who was raised by my parents to do the best I can to see the good in people, because it's so easy to be a hater. And there's so many haters out there. So it's the easiest thing, you know, being negative Nancy or oh, he didn't do this well, whatever. But I'm thankful that my parents taught me, you know, make sure you see the good in people. So what I see here is, you know, you're not only creative in terms of business, but also in your actual field. And I think that what makes you someone who is, you know, the right person probably for our communities, youth soccer, collegiate soccer athletes, professional soccer athletes, is the fact that you played club, you played collegiate soccer yourself, and you coached. I mean, you coached with Gallagher as well, which is a big club. You know, it's the fusion of your other clubs, you know, the Metro and the Bush. So you have the perspective of a coach, of a player, and now with your knowledge and obviously continuous looking abroad, to me, it just makes sense. Makes sense why we should give you a chance to help us. And this is very, very cool. Now, before the last question, JP, I would like to do a short lightning round, I call it. And I don't know if you've seen it in my interviews, but I give you one word and hopefully you can give me one word. You don't have to, maybe a phrase, but as quickly as possible. Is that okay with you?
Yeah, absolutely.
Pretty cool. Okay, awesome. So we're now entering the lightning round phase of the interview with JP Thompson, this STL soccer doc. All right, so first of all, St. Louis.
Home.
Missouri.
Beautiful.
Westminster College.
A whole lot of fun.
WashU.
Challenging.
Family.
Everything.
Marriage.
The best.
Your dog.
Crazy.
Soccer.
Passion.
Awesome. PT.
Passion.
The soccer goal.
I'll go. I was a defender, so defense.
That's right. Awesome. And that concludes that part. That was quick and fun, and yeah, you were ready for it. My last question for you, JP, is, what can we expect of you in 2022? And really, what's next for the STL soccer doc?
So what's next is I'm going to continue to grow STL soccer doc, continue to try and provide more services and have a bigger network to work with as many people as possible, not just from the soccer perspective, but having outside resources. So getting more in contact with the people down at the Grind, which is where I do my training out of. So getting more involved down there. I'm trying to build that up and have a bigger network with the athletes that they have available down there and the soccer players they have available. And that's in the South. The Grind is in the like South County area of St. Louis. So if you're in that area, that's where I'm at doing my soccer stuff, but I'm willing to kind of go all over and be wherever. I've worked out of it, for those familiar with the St. Louis area, I've worked out of the SLU or the SLU College area. Nice. I've done some training sessions at Football Club STL. So kind of all around the St. Louis area for those training sessions. And, you know, hopefully the future continues to involve, you know, more direct contact with soccer players. And you know, more work with higher level, you know, players that are looking to, you know, decrease their risk of injury, that are going to decrease, and those, the ones that do get injured, hopefully we can work with them to decrease the amount of time that they're out and get them back onto the field as quickly, but as safely and as possible.
I just came with this one. And if you could be brief on this one, what would you tell that kid that's watching, or that young adolescent that wants to be in your shoes? They love soccer, but they would love to be a PT, you know, 32, traveling, you know, married and all this thing, just like you.
What I would tell them is, you know, the school part is just as important as the soccer part. And you can take that from both ways. You know, if you're, you know, a really brainiac kid, but don't, you know, you don't have a ton of the, you know, of experience playing soccer, that's okay. You know, there's soccer on constantly these days. You know, if you, you know, missed a game, you can go on, I mean, in the EPL fan, you can go on the Peacock app and watch every game on replay at any point. You know, get familiar with the sport, watch how they move, watch how they're doing that if you don't have the soccer background. If you have the soccer background, you need to get the schooling background of it. You need to, you know, work hard in school and figure out a way to make both of those things work at the same time. Or else when you get out of school, it's going to be a lot harder to kind of figure out what is needed to fit that role. So,
that's so cool.
School, get as much anatomy as you can, because that's the basis for everything that I do. And soccer, get as much exposure as you can, because that is the basis for everything that I do.
So nice. Awesome. Thank you for your time, JP. I appreciate you having you on the show. And I hope that I can, you know, interview you sometime in the near future again.
Absolutely. Thanks, Alex.
Awesome. Thank you, everybody, for watching or listening to The Alex Way Show. Remember, we're all across different podcasting platforms in YouTube. You can look us up in social media as well with the hashtag The Alex Way. This was an interview with the STL soccer doc, JP Thompson. I'll see you on the next episode, which will probably be in Espanol. Thank you. Ciao.
You've been listening to The Alex Way. We're all over the internet. Follow us. on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, and LinkedIn.